Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to see loco?
I'm ready to get loco.
You want to see loco?
Who's ready to get loco?
You ready?
Ready. Get loco on this Throwback Thursday. Hockman and Crowder, this is the 790 The Ticket only portion of the Hockman and Crowder show. Let me hit the post.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can.
Little Corey Hart on your AM dial, unless you're listening on FM HD2. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a slate of five NFL preseason games tonight. The Dolphins play in Tampa tomorrow night. We are just over a week away from Canes and Gators kicking off the college football season in Orlando. We got action, Jack.
We got action, Jack.
We got action, Papa.
Got my side.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Okay. Got my sideline pass today.
For the Dolphins game?
No.
For the Canes Gators game?
Canes Gators. I had to call in some damn favors, but I'm going to be on that sideline come Saturday.
We got action, Jack.
You going to get me down there, Crowder?
There's no way in the hell I'm bringing you anywhere.
We got action, Jack. Nah, I'm just kidding. We're fine. We're fine without it. we're fine without action.
You got him excited.
I really did. And then you've got a game tonight. You know, a lot of people may not know. This will be Crowder's second year coaching high school football, youth schools. You guys have a game tonight?
Yes, we have our kickoff classic, the little preseason game of high school. Yes, we play Berlin Jesuit tonight at 7 o'clock.
How's the U school team going to be this year?
We got some dogs. You'll hear about us later on. We got some dogs.
All right.
Yeah. We got a quarterback. We got O-line solidified. The defense going to be biting because, you know, me and Arturo Freeman are calling the defense, co-defensive coordinators.
You've got a legit coaching staff now at U school.
Yeah. We brought some people in. Ed Perry's over there now. Yeah, we got some guys now. We're going to shake a little something this year.
Bueno, Belen has some perros, so watch out tonight, all right, bro?
I'm not worried about the perros. I ain't just trying to call the defense.
Belen. Belen has some perros.
All right. Yeah. Belen does have. They have a big-ass linebacker. I mean, big-ass tailback. He's what, my size.
Yeah, I was saying to him, they have anybody that can run on you, whatever. He's like, yeah, they got a running back my size.
He's a monster, and he's fast. So we'll see what we can do.
You play a Rondé's team this year?
No, they were scared of us a little bit.
They got scurred.
They're scurred.
You know, we said at the, speaking of being scurred and then not scurred, we were talking at the end of yesterday's show, there was that tweet from Blake James, the athletic director at the University of Miami, and he said, big college football scheduling announcement. When was it? Next Tuesday, did he say?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And then there was an article in the Sun Sentinel today. We were kind of trying to figure out what it might be, and we had kind of posited that it might be UM and UF rescheduling that rivalry.
Yeah.
And that's what the Sun Sentinel wrote today. Long-awaited Florida versus Miami game August 24th in Orlando may not be the last time Gators and Hurricanes meet on a football field in the coming years, the Orlando Sentinel has learned. The two schools are in discussions and may soon announce a home-and-home series to begin in the near future. I have a feeling that's what it would be, right? Because you'd be announcing it the week of that game. The hype level is already there, and then that takes it to, like, the next level. Like, it would be, what, this will be the last time they meet until 2023 is what the Orlando Sentinel was suggesting, that would be really the first time that they could meet. But that would be great if they resume that rivalry.
I love it. I love it because we both play Florida State because we always play. Florida always plays Florida State end of the season. I played in two of them, and everybody at Florida will. And that was the one that we're missing, the Miami-Florida.
Yep.
Because Florida State's ACC, you're going to play them, and we're guaranteed to play them. So to rekindle that one, the UM-Florida, then that will get what y'all loved back, the Charlie Ward years, the Ken Dorsey years. Y'all loved everybody playing each other. If we can get Florida and Miami playing every year, then you would figure out who the best in the state is every single season.
Right, you'd have that triangle, right?
Yes.
Miami, Florida State, Gainesville, boom, boom, boom. And I know the UCF fans, somebody tweeted me last night, you're disrespecting UCF because I was saying you got to know your role. But in the history of it, I understand UCF's been good. In the history of it, though, it's been Miami, Florida State, and Florida. And if you're UCF, take a 2-1 instead of demanding the 1-1, and then all of a sudden you'll work into, instead of it being a big 3 in the state of Florida, it'll be a big 4. But until then, it's the big 3.
Play them. Just play the guys. Just and you're gonna have you're not gonna be able to get a 1-1. You're gonna have to get a 2-1.
Prove to them that you deserve a 1-1. That hey, we come out there and twice in a row we kicked your ass and we're not doing 2-1. Like fine, but prove it to them.
And this year their big game is Stanford. So if they go out and whoop Stanford, then they'll get a little more respect, UCF fans. But I have a guy that always comes up to me talking about UCF. Hey, Crowder, talk about UCF more. No, y'all don't play a schedule. Get a tighter schedule. Get a better schedule, and nationally they'll start respecting you, and then we'll start respecting you. If you're playing these puppies, all these little baby teams, then we're not going to respect you. Now, come on now. Let's be honest, UCF.
Now, today is a throwback Thursday. Solana, I see on the show sheet, on this day in 1995, Macarena was released by Los Del Rio. I'm hoping we're going to hear that at some point today.
We'll see.
All right, because I'd like to actually do the dance, me and Crowder. I'd like to do the Macarena at some point this afternoon.
My wife has outlawed Macarena from our house because my son and daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they found it, and
we have the little microphone, the karaoke microphone.
They just do that song over and over
and over and over. All we get is Macarena and Old Town Road.
Macarena is still a banger, right?
Yeah, both of those are still slappers, guys.
Well, I mean, it's not still a slapper for Old Town Road. That's a new song. I'm saying Macarena from 1995. That song comes out in 95, 2005, 2015, 2019. So it's almost, what, 25 years old?
Yeah.
Almost 25 years old.
Is it a banger?
It's a banger.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like if you put on Macarena in a South Beach club, people are going to flip their hands
crazy.
Out.
Yeah,
really?
Place goes crazy.
No.
Yeah.
I hate it when they do it at kid dances.
Everybody starts doing the Macarena. I don't care where you are.
Do you know how to do the Macarena?
I don't, actually. Yeah.
Bro.
I could do something like
it's
that.
The is easiest that, dance.
Yeah, don't worry. I got
that's
it covered.
The robot.
It's somewhere along the lines like that.
That's robotic. Yeah.
I forgot it in 1996. Do you know how to do the Macarena, Solana?
Come on, bro.
Wasn't an answer.
Come on.
So you don't?
Of course.
You do know how to do the Macarena?
From Kendall, bro.
Yeah, I know how to do it.
You don't know how to do it. We stumbled into some stuff yesterday, and we're going to get some definitive opinions on it. I will tell you in a moment. Let's get to headlines first, though, with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
The Marlins lost 9-1 in game 2.
I'm not laughing at Glenn
of the
Geffner.
Three-game
I'm just laughing at Glenn Geffner.
Glenn Geffner's going to jump on you.
Glenn Geffner, first of all, he'd have to get a ladder. Have you ever seen Glenn Geffner?
No, he's not a big dude.
No.
I was hoping he was huge.
Why do you think I'm messing with him? couldn't have figured that out yesterday.
Pick your battles.
Yeah, pick your battles. No, but Glenn Geffner, honestly, he caped up for the Marlins right as they lost 2 games by a combined score of 24-2. He called out Will Manso on Twitter during the span of which the Marlins have lost 24-2 in 2 games to the Dodgers.
What if Glenn has the eye of the tiger?
He might have the eye of the tiger. He's certainly angry about Will Manso, so he might have the eye of the tiger. I may have to look out.
The eye of the kitten? Said he's a tiny guy.
I may have to look out. Yeah, what were you saying, Solana?
They'll look to avoid the sweep at Marlins Park today. First pitch is at 3:05.
Oh, during our show?
Dale.
Oh, very excited. We might hear a little What is our song? Oh, it's Baby Shark.
After you said the last two games are what, 24-2?
Right.
Maybe a little less Baby Shark today than usual.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't even say trying to avoid the sweep. Why don't you say trying to score more than a run? How about that? Like, we're not trying to avoid the sweep. We're just trying to score more than a run.
Let's go, Fins.
What else? Fish. What else you got there, Solana?
Tomorrow, the Dolphins will play their second preseason game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kickoff is at 7:30 in Tampa Bay.
By the way, we'll have our gambling expert, Rob Pizzola, on today. He will hopefully give us some wagers. There's five preseason games tonight, Dolphins tomorrow night, and Pizzola's been on fire when it comes to the CFL.
And with those Fins, with Drake being out, Kalen Ballage is going to be the main back. I want to see that. See if Rosen starts. I want to see some more Rosen.
There's some stuff to be answered tomorrow night, I think.
Yes. When a preseason game, when a team is rebuilding, you really need to see a lot. Let's build on what we did against the Falcons.
And you want to see what goes on with Preston Williams, too. I want to see if he's returning punts. You think they're going to have him return punts? He was doing it at the joint practices this week.
Let him show out.
I would. I absolutely would. What else you got there, Solana?
Boogie Cousins sustained a knee injury in practice today. He was practicing in Las Vegas. Reports are confirming he did indeed suffer another torn ACL.
Oh, my God. I mean, unlucky.
Not unlucky, old.
Well, he gambled on himself, though. That's the unlucky part, right? And he's taken 2 one-year contracts in a row?
I think this one was less gambling on himself and more just what the market dictated
last season,
he decided to play with the Warriors and forego a long-term deal because he wanted a ring.
That dude, that's pretty much it, right? I mean,
no, he'll come back. He won't get any $100 million.
But he'll be a lumbering big guy that you're always worried is going to wreck his leg.
12 minute a game max. Yep. Like, he's going to be that guy. Help a team. Yep. You know what? Like a Greg Oden.
Yep.
Come on in. Do what you can. We'll get you out. Greg Oden.
Come on, bro.
When Greg Oden,
he just got hurt 2 years in a row. He's like, was it Achilles and ACL? You think he's going to come back
out dominating a game? That's
Solana?
Why Greg Oden came to the Heat. I mean, literally to be that 10 to 12 minute a game guy, like, which he wasn't.
And big guys are already working themselves out the league. So now a guy coming off of Achilles and an ACL, he's going to give you 20 a game. You're going to start. You're going to start DeMarcus Cousins right now?
I'm not saying you're going to start DeMarcus Cousins, but Greg Oden never proved he could play in the NBA
of
injury.
I'm with you there. Boogie Cousins had an excellent career, but now he's Greg Oden. I mean, he Crowder's not wrong on that.
No, I hope we are wrong, but I would bet on us being right.
2 years in a row, how would you – you'd be crazy if you're an NBA head coach or general manager to say, that's the key to our offense, or this is one of our big two or big three guys. Like, you'd be crazy because the history doesn't bear it out.
Yeah, torn ACL is tough, but maybe next time don't choose the Lakers over the Heat.
Why would you do that? Solana,
it's karma.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
And finally, a 41-year-old Fresno man died after collapsing at a Fresno Grizzlies minor league game while competing in a taco eating contest.
I saw that.
Still no report on if he won.
did the tacos get him or something else?
Yeah, he choked. Hard tacos.
That's the problem.
Yeah. It was not a Major League Eating sanctioned event. It was not a George Shea event. Now, they were having some preliminaries. I believe the winner was going to go on to a Major League Eating event, but yeah, that was just a all-time choke job.
We don't do hard tacos at the Crowder House.
For that reason?
Because my daughter choked one time.
Oh, really?
And then now we got to go soft. I go hard when the kids go to bed, but there's no hard tacos available to the children at the Crowder House.
Taco Tuesday.
Don't do that. I'm not on LeBron.
Can somebody talk to LeBron, man? It's so weird.
Is it offensive?
I mean, I'm not Mexican, so I'm not going to act outraged.
It's a little bit cartoonish, Mexican. It's a little cartoonish. I'm not going to blast him for it because I think it's all in good nature and good fun. It's a little bit cartoonish, but it's also just a little bit annoying.
No. Annoying. You're saying it nice. I'll tell you exactly what it is. If it offends Mexican people, I'm sorry, and I can see that. It's just lame as hell.
Yep.
Taco Tuesday. Get your dumb ass and get off of social media about what you're eating for dinner. You're LeBron James.
Well, that I won't go that far because
you should.
I like to post what I'm eating for dinner on social media.
You're not LeBron James, Hawk.
What? What did you just say?
You're not LeBron James.
Anything else, Solana?
No.
Okay. So speaking of food, yesterday, this is as shocking a thing as I've ever discovered on this show. I'm not even kidding you. This is as shocking a thing as I've ever discovered on this show. We were talking yesterday. Whoa, that Oscar Mayer was coming out. Solana told us a story. Oscar Mayer's coming out with ice cream that is hot dog flavored with little bits of hot dog in it.
Mm.
Okay. So we're like, oh, that's disgusting. That's not the most shocking thing. The shocking thing is that Crowder then says to me, oh, you know, people do eat cold hot dogs. Like, you could just take them right out of the package from the fridge and eat it.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's crazy. You'll get listeria poisoning. You'll have salmonella. And lo and behold, he was right. They are fully cooked in the package. I didn't realize that. He showed me the packaging. Like, it says fully cooked.
Yeah.
Then, to take it to another level, we were inundated with texts from people that eat cold hot dogs right out of the fridge.
Yep.
In fact, I got a tweet from our friend Gino Toretta.
Gino.
When he was a kid, I'm going to read it to you exactly. Oh, I don't know if I still
this,
have it.
This makes a Heisman Trophy winner. Cold hot dogs make a Heisman Trophy winner.
This is exactly what he said. As a kid, yes, tasted like bologna. Now, no chance. But as a kid, he would eat a cold hot dog right out of the fridge. Then we started talking further about it, like Crowder was saying. What about at a cookout? And they make a big tin of hot dogs, and it sits on the picnic table for an hour and a half.
Yep.
And then you get hungry, and you grab one. That one, that seems palatable to me. I've done that. Like, I've done that.
Yes.
You don't, yeah, I'm not in the mood for a hot dog. It's an hour and a half later. They're sitting out there, and you're they haven't been that many flies yet.
The burnt ones sitting down in the corner, yeah, and you grab it, throw some mayonnaise,
and I'll go do it. Crowder also said that he at times will go fishing with uncooked hot dogs. I shouldn't say uncooked. It's just cold hot dogs, and you use them for bait.
Yes. But it's the heating lamp narrative.
But no, because the heating lamp keeps something that's cooked warm. It's already been cooked, so it's hot. And then they put it under a heating lamp to keep it warm for 5 minutes while you finish your spinach dip.
But what if you set that same hot dog under the heating lamp for 45 minutes? Wouldn't that heating lamp now cook it?
No, it would not cook it.
It might 90 degrees.
It might warm it a little bit. But then, so Crowder's saying he'll go out there, uses the hot dogs as bait, and they'll be sitting in the hot sun for 3-4 hours, and then they're warm, and then he might feel like eating one because he's been out there fishing all day.
I call it God's hot plate. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I call it God's hot
plate.
You
are the only one.
I don't know. Please text in.
So we got to
text in if you use God's hot plate.
We got a ton of texts yesterday from people that eat cold hot dogs. I was blown away by this. So I wanted to bring on Dr. Chuck Metzger, who has not been on in a while with us. He's our staff physician, if you will. I want to ask him about the safety of that. Not just that, but like, is there a difference? I was telling you yesterday, I prefer cold chicken over hot chicken in the fried chicken variety.
Yeah.
Rotisserie chicken, I probably like. Actually, though,
rotisserie.
But I don't want to cut it off the bird while it's cold. But once it's cut and it's nice slices,
now
like
you're talking about fried chicken, you're talking about out the refrigerator or room temperature?
Out the fridge.
Cold,
like
soggy fried chicken.
Like the little paper lunch pail of Publix fried chicken.
With the plastic windows.
Put it right in the fridge, and I'll eat it the next day when it's cold. That's when it's good.
Refrigerator cold.
But I want to know the health variances on any of this stuff. So we're going to ask Dr. Chuck. Also, I want to talk to him about Antonio Brown's feet.
Yes.
Frostbite. Cold therapy. There's a bunch of questions in this arena. So I'm excited to talk to him about it.
And those that haven't listened to us with Dr. Chuck, we have a speed round.
Yes. So with Crowder.
Just a couple questions of medical.
Him. Yeah.
I gotta get to the bottom of
it. You know, there's no copay. So Crowder peppers him with questions because there's no copay.
Bro, that NFL insurance ran out. I'm on this different insurance.
So we're going to take a quick break. We will come back and answer a bunch of pressing questions with Dr. Chuck Metzger next on Hochman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Excited to talk to Dr. Chuck Metzger here. It's been very long, right?
I miss him.
long time, Dr. Chuck Metzger. He has been our de facto show physician for a number of years. And football season is generally when we speak to him most often.
When there's injuries.
A lot of injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rough sport. And I'm sure this season will be no different. We've had a couple issues that we've talked about the last week or so that can use the expertise of Dr. Chuck. Now, everybody, just hang on while I read you his resume, because he requires me to do this every time we bring him on. Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton who has been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School and has been in private practice in Boca Raton since 1999. And you can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. He's brutally unfunny on Twitter, but follow him anyway.
Maybe one punchline a year?
At Chuck Metzger.
Great follow.
It's a great follow. Hello, Dr. Chuck.
Hey, guys. Thanks for that very nice introduction, I guess. Talk about cold or frostbitten introduction.
Yes. Well, okay. Now I'm going to get into eating cold hot dogs in a second, but let's talk about cold feet. Antonio Brown. So he's got these frostbitten feet that have been getting attention for 2 weeks now. He went for cold therapy. He did not wear the proper protection, I guess. And have you ever had, is it cryotherapy? Is that what it's called? Have you ever had that?
I did it twice. I didn't make it a protocol for me, but it is trending amongst athletes right now.
But what, you did it because why? It would help you heal quicker, or it just gets the, I can ask Dr. Chuck, but what was the reason that you did it?
It's supposed to be like a faster cold tub. You've been in cold tubs your whole life. You're supposed to lower your body temperature and, like, not, I don't want to say freeze, but lower everything and recover from injury. So it's supposed to do it faster than sitting in cold water.
Did you find it uncomfortable?
It's extremely uncomfortable, but a cold tub's uncomfortable.
Right.
I wanted to ask Chuck too, like, is it more efficient than a cold tub? Because cold water's been around for thousands of years. Cryotherapy just came or became famous recently.
You know, I'm gonna take issue with that. I don't know if cold water's been around for thousands of years. I think it's been room temperature. And then when we found a way to cool it off, then it became cold water. I don't think in caveman times you got a frosty, icy mug of water.
In winter they were sitting in the damn lake.
Actually, that's a good point. I forgot about winter.
Ice age.
And forgot
about the Ice Age.
And the Ice Age.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry.
I figured
I had to chime in there.
That's why we brought you on. He goes for cold therapy. He doesn't really wear the proper protection, I guess, and now he's got to deal with these disgusting, frostbitten, gross feet, which Crowder has to deal with all the time, but it's for a whole nother reason. He's got disgusting feet. But it's a little aside there. So first off, what is cold therapy, Dr. Chuck? Like, who would traditionally use it? Just athletes?
You know, they generally gear it towards athletes. It's basically a chamber that you walk into, and it's about 2.5 minutes or so, where they drop your temperature and cool things down significantly. They actually can get as low as 300 degrees below zero. The idea is to kind of allow for healing because of things like lactic acid and various things that build up in your extremities and in your body as you work out vigorously. It kind of changes the blood flow from your extremities to your core, because your body wants to, you know, stay warm, so it kind of transfers all the blood flow to your core. And there they feel that there's more nutrients that when you get out of the chamber and warm up, you know, that those nutrients then feed into the extremities again and allow for, you know, kind of recovery that's quick. The evidence just, you know, really is kind of not there for it being any better than a bath. It's definitely more expensive than an ice bath, but who knows if it's really actually better.
And I was going to ask you that, Doc. Like, would any doctor prescribe cryotherapy to a normal patient? Because I know it's real trendy right now amongst athletes.
It really is, you know, in the athletic realm. I've never prescribed it. I can't see a reason why I would and what I do. You know, you could think of reasons if you really wanted to kind of go off the beaten path in terms of why you would do it. People recovering from certain treatments, chemotherapies, things like that, where you would try it. But it's really not even close to anything that has evidence behind it for any of that stuff. So it's really just people who want to kind of just try something different, not something I would think has actual evidence behind it, which is really where you want to go.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us. So how long would the effects of frostbite last? Like is the feet issue for Antonio Brown, is that something that could creep into his football game because his feet won't be the same?
You know, it's really different with everyone. What I read about Antonio Brown was that he was in Paris in training and went and did some cryotherapy there. What I understand is, you know, if he may have been in wet socks at the time. And anything that's wet that's then going to be cooled down significantly increases the risk of frostbite. And as a result, that's what he kind of was left with. He actually saw a doctor there in Paris who actually did what we call debridement of his feet, where he actually cut into the dead skin of his feet. And that's why he's in so much pain, besides just the fact that frostbite can hurt. So it really depends on the location and the severity and the amount of tissue that's being affected. So for him, I expect long term that, assuming no setbacks like infection or what have you, I expect that he'll be back to 100%. It's just hard to know how long. Part of it is you really don't want to use it, which is exactly what he's doing. He's trying to stay off his feet as much as possible, though I'm sure it's very hard for him to do that just because of what he does. You use anti-inflammatory. You know, there's a process and a protocol to treating these things, but it just got to take its time. And I think there's a good chance over the next couple of weeks he just recovers. But then you start to worry, you know, is he then in condition to endure the rigors of an NFL, you know, game, let alone season? Short of that, though, I think the feet themselves won't be an issue after that, you know, the healing process occurs.
And, Doc, we've touched on this before, but now with DeMarcus Cousins reportedly tearing his ACL after his Achilles injury, and then Devontae Parker, he's hurt again. He's been hurt his entire time as a Dolphin. Like, I watched the movie. I love the movie. What is it? Unbreakable, Split, and Mr. Glass, where, like, there are certain people that do not get hurt, and there are certain people that always get hurt. Is that a real thing? I know it's a movie, Doc, but, like, are there people, like, the phrase injury-prone, where it's just humans that are weaker bodied, their Achilles, their tendons, their muscles, they're just weaker than other humans' muscles?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that connects muscles to bone and joints to them, you know, the bones to themselves, to each other, which is what a joint is. There's ligaments and tendons, and those are made up of things called soft, what we refer to generally as soft tissue. And so those things can have better or worse quality to them, meaning some of them are stronger than others. So that, along with the way you train and how you kind of recover from those training and other injuries, can really play a role in how likely you are to injure yourself. So basically, that's a long-winded way of saying, yes, there is, you know, a difference in quality of a physical risk for someone to be injured or not, depending on what they're doing.
I have to read you. This is, I think, just a great snapshot into where our country is right now. Nobody can agree on anything. These are the two most recent back-to-back texts. How come you don't have this guy on anymore? He was the best segment on the radio by far, followed by who the hell is this nerd? It's really unbelievable. Like, you, the
that sums up my life. Actually.
I mean, that really is a wide chasm there.
In my house alone, that sums it up, actually.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He's a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. Let me get to the very pressing issue from our show here yesterday. So we were discussing hot dogs yesterday. Crowder mentions that they're fully cooked once they're inside the package. Once they get packaged, they are fully cooked, and we checked, and they are. And then we were bombarded with texts from people who say that they eat cold hot dogs right out of the refrigerator all the time. I was telling earlier in the show, Gino Toretta texted me when he was a kid. He used to do that, doesn't do it anymore. But there's plenty of people texting. Yeah, I do that all the time. Is there anything medically dangerous about taking a cold hot dog, not heating it up, not nuking it, boiling it, putting it on the George Foreman grill, just taking that cold hot dog out of the packaging and eating it?
In general, no. However, the worry is that you can get contamination of the food in packaging, and the biggest concern is Listeria, which is a bacterial infection that can, you know, it's really more serious in people who are pregnant or have, you know, really young or have certain risk factors like weakened immune systems or just who are older. They can get, you know, terrible GI upset, diarrhea, and things like that. That just can be actually very severe. So there is that risk factor. Short of that, is it cooked? Yes. Can you eat it? Therefore, yes. It's just that's the risk you run with, in particular, things like hot dogs.
So, Chuck, raw dog is dangerous.
Don't answer that. So
what about
a hot dog at a barbecue? So somebody grills it up, you know, they got the metal tin of hot dogs and burgers or whatever, and it sits there on the picnic table for an hour or so after it's been cooked. And then, you know, you pick it up and it's been sitting in the sun, say, for an hour. Is that dangerous?
No, on its own, no. I mean, you don't really worry about contamination at that point.
How long would it take? If it's had out there for 4 hours?
It's not so much a matter of time. It's really purely about contamination itself. So, you know, in the processing plants and things like that, where it's going through different hands and different people, if it's exposed to bacteria in some way, and a typical example would be someone's hands who maybe hadn't washed their hands properly or used proper hygiene, that's what puts it at risk. Just sitting out in the air is not an issue.
What about, like, eating cold chicken versus hot chicken? It shouldn't make a difference, but is there anything medically concerning? Or cold pizza instead of hot pizza, you know, cold Chinese food right out of the fridge. Is there anything medically concerning about that?
So most of those are okay. I will tell you, though, that there's no question that Chinese food, because of the rice, there can be spores on the rice that can survive the initial cooking process. And then if you allow them to sit in the cold and then eat them again, the spores can actually turn into something called Bacillus cereus. In other words, B. cereus, and that's actually the term of it. And you can get bacillus infection, which can be very, very bad, actually, terrible diarrhea. It's oftentimes mistaken for just a simple little food poisoning type of scenario, with nausea, vomiting, but it can actually, you know, really wipe you out and therefore be more serious than your typical food poisoning type event. And so that would be the one caveat to that. I think if you just eat leftovers of the other things, you're fine, again, assuming they're not, you know, can't contaminated in some way. But in particular, you know, it's the uncooked rice or rice that's been sitting in it, you know, because of the risk of the Bacillus cereus, which is a spore-like organism that can grow.
And, Doc, you talk about the rice. I know when I go to sushi restaurants, they always have that warning, eating raw food, you know, there can be bacteria in that. With your experience, what foods cause the most food poisoning or, you know, the most visits to the emergency room from eating something? When your experience, what food is that?
Yeah, so salmonella poisoning is a bad one. That's with chicken, you know. So if someone's cooking or preparing chicken, and they don't wash their hands, then they somehow, you know, get that exposure into their bodies by eating something after, you know, after not washing their hands, and they still have the salmonella in their hands. That's a common one. That can give you a terrible diarrhea. That can actually last some serious period of time. Other reasons, people go to other regions, so Mexico, you know, all those types of countries where they just have different cleanliness standards, and also the bacteria that are normally around are different than what we're used to, and so we get very sick from those. So traveler's diarrhea, things like that, can really wipe you out. Those are the most common things that I see. Rarely I do see things like, as I just mentioned, when someone eats you know, leftover rice and things like that, where it's usually GI related, where they're just throwing up and they just get a really bad case of food poisoning and get very dehydrated. Those are the most common things.
Going back to Antonio Brown, have you ever treated anybody for frostbite?
Actually, I went to medical school down here. Yeah, down here it'd be rare. I did go to medical school in New Jersey. We saw some cases of that, and it's, you know, it's like a lot of different scenarios. Many cases of frostbite are quite minor, and they're actually treated at home. They just kind of, you know, they kind of know what to do just to treat the scenario. I've seen it rarely, and it's usually not that serious, but it can be, no question about it. Sometimes you need amputation of joints and stuff.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us. We got to let him go. You have a lightning round. You know, Crowder likes when you come on because there's no copay, so he's got a few questions to ask you.
I
got
to ask you something, Doc. With all, like, the injury stuff, I know that alcohol thins out your blood. So, like, even with injuries, they want to move the lactic acid out, and concussions, they want to move the lactic acid out so that protein doesn't build up. I believe that when I would drink 15 to 20 beers the night of a game, I was actually helping my injuries and concussions heal faster by thinning my blood out to move out the lactic acid. Was I crazy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You were leading the witness.
What are you talking about?
You were leading the witness.
You want to talk about leading the witness? You gave 18 reasons why you thought it was right and then asked him to agree with you.
To thin your blood out to move out lactic acid? It seems
like
it works.
Sounded crazy to me.
Alcohol. So alcohol can definitely dehydrate you because it blocks something called antidiuretic hormone in your blood, and that makes you urinate more. So you tend to urinate more, which dehydrates you, which is an issue in athletes who've been, you know, active. Also, it doesn't thin your blood unless you have severe liver disease, something like cirrhosis, and then you don't produce the right vitamins and ways of producing, thickening the blood, essentially. And so those are really the only two things that really the effects that you're talking about. Short of that, no, it doesn't benefit you. It may make you feel better for a little while, but that's temporary.
And it gives you that whiskey swipe.
All right.
Then you can last longer.
Now
you can't argue with that one now.
Can you argue a whiskey swipe? No, I can't, but I don't think that's a medical benefit.
Is whiskey swiper a medical thing?
It's not called whiskey swipe but I don't think it's related to what it's called.
Yeah, it's related to the effects of alcohol on the nervous system.
Oh, we all know what it is. What else? Do you have any?
I have one more.
Is it a
thing? It slows everything down.
It's a thing.
What else?
It's a thing.
We know.
It's a thing.
Do you have any other questions?
You have a little thing. Doc, the medical thought on microwaves with the radiation, is it dangerous at all?
No. No,
microwaves
not at all.
It's
fun, I would say. I don't know. I mean, you know, do what you want with it.
Okay. Any other questions in the speed round for Dr. Jugmaster?
I just had two. Just
That's
had
it.
Two.
Solana, you have a question?
Yeah, this is off the topic of food, Doc. I recently
– Is this about man buns? Is this about man buns, Alex? Go ahead.
No,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think I perfected the science of man buns.
Oh,
so
God.
No questions
what's
about
your question?
That. I recently was on vacation and I brushed my teeth mistakenly, of course, with instead of toothpaste with diaper rash cream. The bottles look very similar. Should I have been concerned?
Well, I'm a little concerned about your thought process in general, but no.
Also, you're
traveling with
babies.
Generally,
like, what were you doing? Were you harvesting organs?
Very strange.
Like, what's happening?
And we know he can't make a baby, so
is
why does he have diaper rash?
Is that an actual thing, Dr. Chuck? The harvesting of organs from people that don't want their organs harvested?
There's certainly plenty of thoughts about it. I mean, there's certainly rumors about it. I don't know if it's really true. I've never heard of an actual patient who's had it. Let's say it that way.
Okay.
As far as him, there's no harm that I would anticipate would come of it, because I think a lot of the substance is coming into your stomach. You're going to vomit it up or get rid of it on your own. If it really was harmful, you know, you would kind of get rid of it. And you'd probably have to absorb a lot more than what you would put through on toothpaste type of, quantity in your mouth.
It doesn't even make any sense what he's saying. I mean, it's just a contrived, nonsensical question. Solana, do better, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and the chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate assistant professor for FAU Medical School. He's been in private practice in Boca since 1999, and I really do suggest you follow him on Twitter at Chuck Metzger. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure speaking with Dr. Metzger.
Whiskey swiper.
Diaper cream.
That was so silly.
What's going on with both of you people?
Both of you people. My questions were legit.
Me too. That actually happened
to
me.
You made that up.
Okay.
You made that
why
up.
Why do you have diaper cream?
Why do you have diaper cream in your damn bag?
Why would you have a kid.
Why would you be in a room with diaper cream?
A little Desitin is
for
a,
what?
An essential.
For what? Isn't Desitin powder?
No, Desitin is like diaper rash cream. You ever been walking, you chafe a little? Throw a little Desitin on there.
You have diaper cream for yourself?
Of course. Everybody.
Bro, just get bigger draws. You wear tidy whities, don't you?
Let's take a quick break here. I think we answered a lot of questions. I think a lot of rumors and innuendo have been put to bed. And we'll come back next on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Yeah, Loco in the Loco Hour. What song is this?
You're the One for Me, D-Train.
I've never heard this. This is an 80s song?
Yep. It's a slapper.
The name's really D-Train?
Yeah.
Like Dontrell?
I'm a fan.
This hour's been brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. People like Dr. Chuck Metzger, sans a few texters, like the guy who texted, "Who is this nerd?"
Are all doctors nerds, though?
some doctors are nerds, some are not. I think Dr. Metzger, to me, falls into the category of not being a nerd. Like, he can sit there and hang with you and talk with you, but if you're going to ask him about his craft,
yes.
Like, I'm the same way with radio. I call myself a radio nerd all the time, right? If people want to talk radio, I will talk radio to you.
Yeah.
I nerd out with that stuff.
I'd have hung out with Chuck on both sides, though. Like, he can go nerd medical, but he can also sit and drink a beer with you.
Right, he can hang. But if you want to ask medical questions, he's going to give you some answers.
Yeah, he's smart as hell.
And he gave you some answers there. There is an alert. I have an alert for people that are fascinated by former Dolphins, I'm fascinated with Adam Gase, and I want to see what goes on, you know, with Ndamukong Suh, even though he's been gone two seasons now or just one?
This is the second.
This is the second. So he played one with the Rams and now
with the Bucks. And I heard he was beating the hell out the offensive lineman.
Yeah, I read that as well. Yeah. I read that. There is an alert, though, about our own Ryan Tannehill.
Show out.
I saw this headline. I almost fell out laughing. Marcus Mariota, not a lock to start for the Tennessee Titans in week one.
Fall in.
This is.
Fall in.
I mean, you want to talk about just having my rapt attention? Because he had an unbelievable stat line last week, and Ryan Tannehill did.
Yes.
But again, Marcus Mariota's not getting any snaps. It's like saying that Daniel Jones outplayed Eli Manning. Eli Manning had one pass. It's like saying Josh Rosen outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick had what, two series? It was just two series.
This, you know, Tannehill's between the 25th and 30th best quarterback in the world.
Practices well, too. Very well liked by any coaching staff, by teammates.
Great dude. I always talk about it. We went to the same church. I've sat down with him and his wife and his beautiful children. Like, the dude is going to get you just enamored with him if you sit down with him.
Yep.
He's going to win you between 6 and 9 games because that's what he's going to do. But he's going to get you, and he's going to catch you. Marcus Mariota is in trouble, and he's injury-prone. But Tannehill's going to start a lot of games in Tennessee
this year. The headline is Marcus Mariota not a lock to start for the Tennessee Titans in week one.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Tannehill's going to play because Mariota's going to be hurt at some point. Week one, though, would mean that he lost the job to Ryan Tannehill, which would be, I'm telling you, just one of the greatest football events that we've ever witnessed.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
To get rid of him after 7 meandering years where we just walked around with no purpose. We were, right? I mean, again, not saying that he's not a decent quarterback, because he is. And a lot of the stuff around him, we've talked about it ad nauseum, right? Different coordinators, different coaches, different O-lines, different receiving corps. Like, you know, not really stacked in his favor. And we meandered with him for 7 years, like Mr. Magoo, just kind of walking around. You may end up down this street. You may end up down that street. And there's always that glimmer from him. And if Tennessee is seeing that right now, which they did last week, and if he continues to do that in preseason, yeah, there will be some really funny drama in Tennessee, and I love it.
He's going to get – my over-under on his starts is 7.
That's a lot.
He's going to get at least – I would say over 7 starts this season with Mariota injury and with him just impressing him. Mariota's hurt, comes back from injury. Tannehill goes, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 350 through the air, 72% completion percentage. They have to start up the next week.
Would you have traded last year or the year before Ryan Tannehill straight up for Marcus Mariota?
No.
Really?
No, Mariota, he hasn't impressed me since.
Oh, wow. See, I would have taken him after 4 years of Tannehill.
That Mariota, Jameis Winston draft, because I'm a Bucks fan too, so I've been tracking it. Yeah, those two quarterbacks they're underachieving like hell.
That I would agree with.
Yeah.
Although Mariota's got a couple playoff victories, right? Does Jameis ever taken them to the playoffs? I don't think so, right?
Hell no. Mariota threw a touchdown to himself. He does have one playoff win, but if you watch him snap to snap, Mariota is exactly what he was in college.
I love that story. It says Marcus Mariota is presumed to be the starting quarterback when the Titans begin the regular season September 8th. Could that presumption be wrong? According to a report from ESPN football insider Diana Russini, Mariota is, quote, not a lock to start for the Titans in week one. According to Russini, the Titans could shock nearly everyone and opt for current backup Ryan Tannehill to start when the Titans face the Cleveland Browns in their regular season opener. There's a tone in Tennessee right now that this coaching staff just wants a quarterback to go out there and be the best quarterback there, Russini said Monday on ESPN's Get Up, meaning it is not a lock that this is Marcus Mariota's job.
You love it.
I love it. I love it. I like all the and I'm not rooting against him, by the way. I'm not.
But are you rooting for him?
Am I rooting for him? For or against Adam Gase? I mean, they're in our division, so I'm rooting against him. But let's say, yes, Adam Gase wasn't with the Jets. He goes to Oakland. Yeah. We have no ties. They have no – or let me put him on an NFC team. He goes to the Bears.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Bears. Yeah, goes to Minnesota. Like, there's no ties. There's no nothing. Do you root for Adam Gase to succeed?
I do, but I don't believe in it.
But you root for him.
I root for Tannehill. I don't.
No. Gase.
I don't root for Adam Gase.
Right. Gase goes to Minnesota. Not, you know, not the same conference. You don't ever play them. Like,
no, his arrogance, the way he acts, the way he treats people.
The Sudoku,
as you call it. I don't root for Adam Gase. I think I'm in my minority though. That I do. I want Tannehill to prove that he's a good quarterback in this league.
You want Tannehill
to ball.
To ball?
Yes.
But what, like, if he couldn't do it for us, why would you want him to do it elsewhere? We sat through 7 years of it. Like, I'm not rooting for him to fail, but I kind of feel like after 7 years he did fail. Like, he didn't succeed.
He failed for us, and this is, and I know I'm in the minority on this, that I want to see that the Dolphins were limiting him and he wasn't limiting the Dolphins. To be honest, and that's why I said I know I'm in the minority because I saw what your face was.
You've got to be in the minority on that one.
I want to see if he was, because remember, I was the captain. I was the president of the Tannehill fan club for 5 years.
Yep.
Those last 2 years, he started pulling away. But what I saw and what I saw the potential and those up games from Tannehill, I want to see if I was right. I want to be proven right that Tannehill can be a pretty good quarterback. He can make, I'll tell you this, he can make every throw. His pocket presence is garbage.
Did he fail or succeed here? I'm not giving you a middle ground. Did he fail or succeed here?
What is succeeding? Because I don't think he failed. Jamarcus Russell failed.
Well, he failed in a more spectacular fashion.
Now that's an F though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now is that like if you but say after, F, but I, don't, after, I don't think Tannehill got an F.
After
Tannehill
seven is, seasons. No playoff appearances by him.
But
by him, he doesn't have a single snap in a playoff game,
but
and no playoff victories.
2016, that was his team.
Understood. I'm just telling you. I'm grading it. You're the teacher. Here's the homework.
No.
The homework is 7 years as a starter, essentially, and no snaps under center in a single playoff game. No playoff victories. No Pro Bowl appearances. Remember, you traded up for him, right? Didn't they trade up for him?
No, they did not.
They did not, but they took him in the first round.
First round.
Seventh.
When you – no, I think it was 13.
It was double digits.
When you ask what is succeeding, for me, succeeding when you're drafted high in the first round as a quarterback is becoming a quarterback who can lead a team – multiple times to the playoffs.
Right. There's a
he
there's
didn't
a,
do it once.
I think
multiple
a,
times
yes,
to the playoffs.
And
that's
I think
succeeding.
I think there's a couple things. For a high pick as a quarterback, for sure, you have to have longevity. Can't be 3 years and you're done. So he has longevity.
Yep.
But he didn't have success on the field.
Yes, he did have success on the field.
Bro.
Bro. No. Okay, what's 8-8? Mediocrity, right?
Yep.
So 8-8's a C. Correct. Let's break it down for school to football.
Right.
8-8 is a C. 9-7 is a C plus. 10-6 is a B minus. Like, if we work it out, you in no way in the hell with those numbers, if we're doing it that way, can you say Tannehill's an F?
I didn't say an F, though. I said a
you
success
said,
or a failure. I'm not.
Wait, failing is an F.
Oh, but okay, a success is
I'll
an A.
I'll say F or D. So is he an A? No. Tannehill's
but
not an A.
C is a success?
No. I would say
Yeah. See, a C is a success if you're John Beck and you're taken in the second round and he had the same career as Ryan Tannehill, then I would say yes, success. You take somebody in the first round, no, he cannot be deemed a success, I don't think. We'll talk about it in a sec because I want to be able to bring our network into the next segment.
Bring in the network.
Take all the stations, Papa.
And Papa, I might let y'all have it about Tannehill.
Take all the stations, Papa. Well, you're going to have to wait a segment because Rob Pizzola is coming on next. He is a professional sports handicapper. He has been on fire when it comes to the CFL. He will hopefully have a pick for us for the Dolphins-Bucks game tomorrow night. So Rob Pizzola, he will join us on the simulcast. Next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.